with denominational folks, the kind of thing that would be the evidence of their pardon would be their emotions. They've had some experience at some time in the past, and they relive that experience by telling it over and over again as their assurance that they have been saved. Sandy, my wife, her grandfather was a Baptist preacher for a primitive Baptist church in Paintsville, Kentucky. And he told me the story of how he was converted. He was a coal miner and wasn't living much of a life that would have been pleasing to God. And one day as he went to the mine, the trees all bowed down to him. And as they bowed down, that was his assurance that he had been saved on that moment right there on his way to that coal mine. And he would get up and preach frequently, just telling that story over and over to an audience here and an audience there of, here is how I know I am saved. But is it our subjective feelings that is the evidence of human pardon? When you think about the emotions of man, you find that they cannot always be trusted. We react emotionally to what we think the truth is. Jacob's sons came home and brought the coat of Joseph, whom they had sold into Egyptian slavery. And it had blood all over it. And they said, Daddy, could this be Joseph's coat? And they left the impression with that elderly man that his son had been devoured by a wild beast. And for the next 9 years, or no, it was more than that, about 20 years, he was in prison in Egypt, alive, and his dad grieved as if he had lost his most beloved son. And then when they found out what the truth was and came back and told him, Joseph is alive, he wouldn't believe the truth because it was just impossible for him to absorb. And Paul said about his thoughts about Jesus, I verily thought within myself that I ought to do many things contrary to Jesus. And thus we see that human emotion is not a reliable basis on which to reach our assurance of salvation. You'll ask a person, how do you know you're saved? Yeah, I know I'm saved because I feel so good. Well, why do you feel so good? Because I'm saved. And it's a circular argument that goes over and over, around and around, but it proves nothing at all. It is based on circular reasons. Sometimes you'll have the assurance based on some false doctrine. You'll have somebody that went forward at a campaign for Christ, and he accepted Jesus as his personal Savior. And then he lives like the devil for 25 or 30 years. And it comes the time of his death. And he says, I know I'm saved because once in grace, always in grace. And his assurance is based on the teaching of this false doctrine. Well, these are not the bases for reaching the conclusion that we're saved. There are other times that we build our assurance on some hypothetical situation. Somebody is asking about his salvation who's never been baptized into Christ. And he has a friend, or maybe he himself, that hasn't been baptized into Christ. And he says, you mean to tell me that if a man were on his way to be baptized in water and a log fell on his head and killed him, that God wouldn't accept him as saved, even though he hadn't been baptized? And this hypothetical case is to undermine and overrule all God ever said on that subject. You can't base your salvation on some hypothetical case that probably never has happened. You base your salvation on the revealed Word of God. And so what we want to look at is the basis of our hope. Our hope rests, number one and foremost, upon the nature of the God whom we serve. I need you to turn back with me in your Bibles to Psalm 103, it is a passage that speaks about the nature of God. Beginning in verse 8, we'll read from this verse of the nature of God. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Like a father pities his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Now we can draw assurance about our salvation from knowing the nature of the God whom we serve. And what is said in this text is not something that is extraordinary and only expressed one time about God. Look at these passages that say virtually the same thing. When Moses was coming down after he had broken the tablet, the Lord passed by him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, that will by no means clear the guilty,